Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Vincent O'Brien. How are you, Vincent?
Hi, Chris. Not too bad, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. That's a very strong Irish accent, isn't it, mate?
It is. I leave my H's at home.
You work for Octavian. And Octavian are sort of one of the leading storers of fine wines in the UK, but you're also a bonded warehouse. Just for the listeners, some of them may not have known or even heard of a bonded warehouse. What is a bonded warehouse?
Well, I suppose the way we look at it, a bonded warehouse means that basically you can trade without paying duty between another bonded warehouse. And as soon as it steps outside the bonded network, duty becomes payable. So the advantage to a business that's storing within a bonded warehouse is cash flow. So it does make life a little bit easier for everybody, but it does mean that there's a lot more legislation and paperwork around that we need to adhere to make sure that the HMRC are very happy that they're getting their fair share at the end of the day.
So if I bought a case of wine, say on Premier, I was one of your clients, bought a case of wine on Premier and it arrived in the country and went straight to you guys, I wouldn't necessarily be paying what, VAT and duty? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's sort of in a limbo land, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is until basically it gets to its final destination, and then it all becomes due. So it does have a big impact on cash flow.
And can you shift, like Octavian's got a couple of warehouses, can you just ship wines back and forth between the warehouses and maybe even to your competitors?
We can, you know, there are paperwork and, you know, legislative requirements that you need to follow, but yeah, you can. But that's what we're paid to manage.
Mm. And do you find HMRC are very diligent in keeping an eye on you guys?
I think after 26 years with them, you know, dealing with them, they don't need to keep too much of an eye on us. You know, we've built up a level of trust and some good relationships with them over the years. To be fair, they have been very helpful in any instances that we've had to deal with them, especially with any issues on behalf of customers that we've had to go back and query. So to be fair, we have found them, you know, very helpful over the years.
What happens with things like breakages? I'm sure you never break a bottle, but you know, randomly someone might accidentally break, you know, hypothetically.
We are human beings, so you know, we breakages do happen.
There's duty on a wine is like £1.80 something, but the VAT on a...
Well, we keep evidence of any breakages, so basically we can actually show that it has been broke, that it hasn't gone on to a final destination.
Okay, so you don't actually, if it breaks, you don't have to pay for duty.
That's if you can evidence that it's been broken in that way.
See, that make a great Christmas, you know, glug, 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 drop the bottle.
it's not as easy as that. But, you know, there are rules that you have to follow. And all I would just say, there's people better educated than me within this organisation to be able to speak on this, really. But, you know, we do keep evidence of any breakages just to make sure the HMRC are happy.
Yep. Yeah, okay. And with VAT, because that, you know, if you're dealing with wines or cases of wines that are worth tens or even hundreds of thousands of pounds, that the VAT on that can be, you know, the duty itself is pretty minuscule compared to the value of the wine and therefore the VAT owing on that.
Well, we don't really deal with the VAT and T side of things because that'll be the client's issue, really.
Yeah.
So, to be honest, I wouldn't be able to really speak on that side.
So it's just the £1.80 per bottle?
Yeah, we'll just stick to the duty side.
Yeah. I suppose in a million bottles, that's still a fair bit of duty.
It is. To be honest, between duty and insurance, they're really the two main issues that we do spend a lot of time.
I understand a lot of people who trade in wine like to keep their wines in bonded warehouse simply because you can buy a wine in a bonded warehouse and then sell it to someone else. And as long as it stays in the bonded warehouse, no VAT is due, is that right?
I wouldn't be able to say on the VAT side of things.
Yeah, okay. I think it is because that's why everybody likes it. Because
if it's not in the country, yeah. The way that the HMRC thinks it's not really in the system.
Do you get visited by HMRC? Do they come out and do random things? Because I've read the legislation years ago, and it basically sort of said we have the right to come and visit you anytime we feel like it.
We do meet. We've got a HMRC representative that we meet on a regular basis. I think they're called customer representatives. Yeah. So, yeah, we are customers of HMRC. Which
aren't we all?
So no, they do come out and visit us on a fairly regular basis. And but they don't talk just about the duty side; they talk about all of the tax relationships that we have. So from corporation tax, PRS, you know, PAYE, and so on. So yeah. You know, it's all dealt with really under one umbrella.
Oh, okay. So you don't deal with different departments?
Well, we do individually, but when they come out and meet us and go through the visits and stuff like that, normally it's just this customer representative, and he has all of the facts from all the different. So it is quite effective in that way, because you've got one face to go to when if there's any issues and stuff like that.
Yeah, I listen to Moneybox, and you sort of hear people who need to get hold of HMRC because of their tax return, and they can spend sort of half a day online on a premium line number costing them hundreds of pounds, and in the end they just say goodbye.
To be honest, we've been quite lucky, actually. I have to say, you know, we've had a couple of instances where we needed their assistance to do certain things and to understand things, or to basically reclaim money on behalf of customers, and they've been very, very good. Mm-hmm. And very understanding and very clear about the logic that they've applied and stuff like that. So, you know, we've had some disputes with them. You know, we've had a few where they've claimed things in error, and I've had to come back and, you know, I'm still very proud. I've got a letter from HMRC apologising for making a claim erroneously.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I need to get it framed.
Yeah.
Actually, thinking of that, you've all around the foyer and coming up the stairs, you've got lots of pictures. And I read that one of the oldest bottles you've got here is a 1775 sherry or something like that, and another Latour or something like that from 1700. So there's some quite old wines here.
There is some quite older wines, some very, very expensive old wines.
Do you charge different amounts if the wine's older, or, you know, if I've got a bottle of Jacob's Creek or a Mouton Rothschild, it's all the same?
Yeah, you know, we leave it to the customers to decide what they want to store. Really, we're selling the storage space and the service.
Yeah.
And no matter what value the wine it is, it's getting an equal service. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why our pricing is based on.
Okay. And obviously, we've just talked we were about tax issues associated with it. But in terms of the costs of having a wine stored with a bonded warehouse, or Octavian in particular, what are the sort of costs that you're going to, just if you can give numbers, great. I realize that if I keep one bottle here, it's probably a different price to if I keep 100 bottles or 100 cases or 1,000 cases.
But, you know, I think it depends on the profile of the customer, what type of activity they're going to be doing. You know, the storage is based on the charge, the cost that we're incurring on basically having the facility, the insurance, the utilities, so forth, the people. But then the remaining will be based on, you know, what profile of activity we're making. We try and keep it as close to activity as we can, so that when the customer does get billed for something, he understands that it's been an action that's driven it, rather than, you know, just a phantom number that's basically appeared. So, you know, we try and cover most of the activities that a customer has asked for. So, you know, from photography, you know, moving it around, internal transfers if people have traded between each other. So we've tried to cover all of those different types.
What are the activities that occur?
There's money.
Yeah. You know. Let's take I've bought myself a case of wine from Bordeaux on premier. Mm-hmm. Do you help arrange the transportation here, or how does that work?
We can do. It's something that we're probably going to start looking a little bit more into.
Back into logistics.
But it makes sense, because, you know, there must be some efficiencies that we could drive if we could basically have a number of collections on the one vehicle, rather than have five or six vehicles. Because one of the commodities that we have is the use of our doors for stock coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got four or five vehicles turning up with three or four cases on, it's sitting at the doors for how long period of time. You still have to go through all of the paperwork and stuff like that, which is then preventing another vehicle turning up. And everyone wants their stock to be landed in a very timely manner, because some of our customers want to turn it around in quick time. So by having that delay can actually impact on their service. So, you know, it is something that we probably will look into, you know, looking at whether we can do consolidate. But when the goods come in, you know, we'll look at the standard of the case. Is it what we're expecting to receive? Is it at, is the case at the standard that we would expect it to be? You know, if the customer spent all that money, they might have a condition photo. Will they want to check to see that what they've seen the photograph, is it what's arrived?
Okay.
And in some instances, we're repairing cases as it arrives, you know. So we're adding value from that day one.
I presume goods come in, then you need to get them checked off. Do you take photographs of the bottles, or?
We do, you know, if customers request, or if a case is damaged, we'll take a photograph and send it to them, say, look, this is what's happened, what do you want us to do? So we try to be very proactive from early on. You know, we'll have an idea, you know, the customer will have advised us what they're expecting in, so we'll make sure that what they're receiving is what they expected, and if not, we'll be on the phone saying, look, what's the issue here? And try and get some feedback on it. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, it'll go downstairs and be put away, then be put onto the system so that the customer knows that it's here, it's safe, and it's there for them to, you know, take delivery or sell on. And then, you know, they'll get stock statements and so forth. So there's lots of little different activities that can be done. You know, they might want another photograph taken of it. And then if they want to take it and get it delivered, it'll be brought back up. They'll be charged a dispatch and a delivery charge.
So the costs seem to be mainly about delivery, shipping out, and a storage cost, obviously, to give out electricity and profit and all that sort of stuff. And photography, are they the main ones, or are there other things that you guys do?
We do, you know, we do documentation charges, we do exports, you know, we do a number of different things. We try and help out as much as we can. You know, some things, you know, will be dependent, we'll have ad hoc charges for what customer requirements they might want us to do something that, you know, it might be just, they might have a customer of theirs that wants to come down and check their stock. So, you know, we'll have to assemble all of the stock into one place so that the customer can see it in one hole. Because we might have customers who have more than one case, they might have 50, 100 cases. Yeah. So we need to get, you know, so it'll be, I mean, it's surprising for a simple business, the list of requirements are ever growing. Yeah. you know, it's so what our job is to basically try and understand the customer's requirements, meet them as best we can in the time that we're given to do it. And obviously, the more time we get, the more likely we are that we can meet it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we're a service industry, so it's about servicing our customer needs.
So the main costs are arriving, storage, and then checking out, and maybe some administration and all that sort of stuff. Do you regularly do audits of people? If let's say a company stored some fine wines and they went into receivership, which, you know, never happens in the wine industry or the restaurant trade, but how does that sort of thing get dealt with? Does receiver come along? Because I've heard of scenarios where clients have had accounts with bonded warehouse, but there's been some dispute about who actually owns the wine sometimes.
Yeah.
Because a client's got their own account, but they've sold on the space to individual things. How does that sort of thing happen? Is that an issue, or?
To be honest, there's only so much information that we have access to. You know, if we've got a customer, that's who we deal with. How they then deal with their customers is not something that we're privy to. So yeah, there have been issues in the past where, you know, instances where customers are a little bit unsure of where the stock is and that. But all we can do is deal with the administrator when they come in, because normally they'll have the full facts, and then we work with them to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
But at the moment, you know, when you're dealing with the customer at the time, you work on good faith, and you only get to see, you know, we know how many cases they sent in, how many cases went out. It's, you know, our part of the equation is very, very simple, really, you know.
Yeah.
What they do on their side then is their business, and unfortunately we don't get access to it. And
you probably don't want access to it either, because it's there.
Well, the thing is, that's wine trading, and that's, you know, what we are is very much the storage side of things and the logistics side of things. We appreciate what they do, but, you know, we leave that to the experts.
It's quite interesting about that, because it's not a stink, but a lot of people don't realize that if you have your wine stored with a merchant, and the merchant's using you guys or another bonded warehouse, the merchant may technically, on their books, effectively own the wines, and some people, when the receiver comes in, don't realize that they just can't get their wine back.
Yeah.
And most people I talk to about this sort of situation say you should always have your own account with the storage company rather than going through the a holding company almost and having it sort of grouped together under their account. Is that what you would prefer?
I think it depends on what you as a customer require and what you want. You know, I think there's advantages and disadvantages to both. You know, I think if you want to be, I'm a finance person, so I'm always going to be on the cautious side. You know, I'd always want something in my own name. But there are other companies who deal with it in a different way, and you know.
What's the advantage? You said there's some advantages and disadvantages. Obviously, ownership is an important advantage, but what are the advantages of having my wine stored where, I don't know if Corney and, let's just say Corney and Barrow used you guys. I don't know if they do or don't, or some wine company A. What's the advantage of keeping my wine in with their job lot, so to speak?
Well, you've got, if you're dealing with Corney and Barrow, you've got all of their expertise and experience in dealing with all of that, so you're getting the advantage of basically working with them that way. And if that's the way they work, they have their reasons for doing it, you know. And how many years have they been in existence?
Quite a few.
Yeah, you know, and you know, they have an awful lot of experience, and we deal with them, you know. So I think it just depends which one you want. I think it comes down to what the individual's choices are going to be. You'll have people who are cautious because of some of the things that have gone on, but for every bad story you've had, there's probably 10 good stories.
Oh no, for sure, yeah. Yeah, you hear a lot of the bad stories, but you know, as you say, you guys store near a million cases of wine, so there's a million good stories. Yeah.
And I think, you know, what happens is, you know, the wine market has gone through, you know, a good period. It's been outperforming the FTSE and stuff like that. The returns are being, so it's getting a lot of publication. Anything that's going to basically allow people to make a quick return is sometimes going to attract the wrong type of individuals, and people just need to be cautious about that, you know. But, you know, you don't want to tarnish everybody with the same brush.
No, I think Warren Buffett had a great thing, you know, everybody looks good when the tide's in, but when it goes out, you see what they're really wearing.
Yeah, there's ways of safeguarding your investments and stuff like that, and just people just need to be aware, you know. Yeah. And
I'm just trying to think of some of the advantages. I suppose if
HMRC keep an eye on what you're doing and they've got access to your records, and you're trying to keep something from HMRC, you don't really want your name on the wines in your storage because HMRC would see that.
If I'm dodgy Joe Bloggs, you know, I'm just trying to think of reasons why what the advantages are.
To me, the advantage is get it in your name, you've got ownership of it, it's there, you know, you guys know who it is, I know who it is, I know I own it, all that sort of stuff. But why would you go through Company X?
I don't know. I think it depends on, I suppose, the mindset of the individual. Maybe it's easier. I don't know. Maybe
yeah, it's less paperwork.
Less administration. You've got someone else looking after for you. They deal with all of the hassle to deal. They have the joy of dealing with us rather than the individual. So,
yeah.
You know, I suppose it depends on the mindset and the type of lifestyle someone's living.
All right then, Vincent. We'll wrap it up there.
Thank you very much.
Cheers very much, bud.
Cheers.